Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of In Case You Missed It. As I said on the last episode, we didn't have an episode last week, which you probably noticed if you follow along to the show. Myself and Tommy were at Comic-Con, and I'll talk about that and do a review of that weekend in later on in this show. As you can probably work out, it's just me for this episode 37 of the show. There's quite a few topics to talk about this week. Not a massive amount of headlines, but as I said, I'm going to talk a little bit about what myself and Tommy got up to last weekend, some of the stuff we got to see, and just the experience of Comic-Con London. Maybe you're not from the UK, maybe you've never, or maybe you are and just haven't ever been to a Comic-Con. So I'm just going to talk about that a little bit later on. But as it's 2 weeks ago since our last episode, we've got quite a few big trailers, particularly one big one, but I'm actually going to start off with, as always, in chronological order. So that meant that the first trailer I'm going to talk about is the trailer for Bloodshot. I know it's based on a comic book, this film stars Vin Diesel. I don't know too much about the comic book property. From what I got from the trailer, it's about a guy who gets some sort of like nano technology put into his skin so that it heals instantly. And he's going after someone who killed his wife, I believe. And through the technology, the people that can control him change the person's face so that he thinks killed his wife, so that he goes around killing the people that they want to. I think it's an interesting concept. Definitely feels a bit 90s, but not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's quite simple, it's interesting, it's got that obviously visual aesthetic, the cool shot of when you see he gets shot in the face and the skin tears and forms straight back onto his face, and that's quite cool, it's interesting, it felt very comic booky. I think it's going to be very hit or miss though. It's one of those sort of films where it's either great or no one's going to watch it. And I think it's probably going to end up being that lower category. I don't know if anyone particularly cares. And again, it's always that sort of thing. If word of mouth is good, then perhaps it will do really well. But when it's got other stuff to compete against, I imagine it's going to flop. I don't think it's a big enough property to compete with some of the likes of the bigger stuff. I'm just going to have a look at the release date in a second. February for the UK and everywhere else by the looks of it. So not a bad release date. It probably fits quite well for it. It'd probably be an 18 by the looks of just all the violence that's going to be in it. It's interesting cast. I think it's an interesting premise. I don't know how many people. I think it will be, like we said on the show, one of the films that people will just watch a lot on streaming services. And I think that's where I'll find a life and success if it does at all. I think there's enough there for me to give it a yes, though. I'm interested to check it out and see how good it is. Vin Diesel sort of is not known for his necessarily acting talent, but he does great in action films, and that's what you know him for. So to see him do something that's not Fast and Furious or Riddick is always refreshing, or another Triple X film. I'm glad he's doing something different instead of just keep on doing those sort of things, as much as I love Fast and Furious. The next trailer that we got was the biggest one, arguably of the year, one of the biggest trailers that we'll ever get, the final trailer for Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, a hotly anticipated trailer, especially for me. If you listen to the show regularly, you know how much of a Star Wars fan I am, especially the new trilogy, but I do love the new trilogy, especially Force Awakens, and to have JJ coming back for this one, I'm really excited about it. And the trailer itself actually kind of underwhelmed me a little bit. I was kind of expecting a little bit more. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. It doesn't give anything away, and I'm happy about that. I'd rather the trailer didn't give anything away. I'm already sold. I'm already going to be there. as early as I can watch it. And I'm glad that in that respect it didn't give anything away. I'd rather a bad trailer for a film that I'm already seeing. Obviously there's theories and everything out there for this film. Some interesting shots in the trailer. Space horses, that's my favorite talking point of the trailer. I think I'm interested to see. Now, again, it doesn't give much away, and I'd be really interested to have this sort of discussion with Tommy, and I will obviously discuss it when the film comes out. But I'm really excited. Another great poster was released with it as well. Again, not too much to say, just because it doesn't give anything away plot-wise. If you're on the internet, which you're, everyone is, be careful. There are some leaked images out there, so I have had one thing spoiled for me, which meant that I've now unfollowed everything Star Wars on like Twitter and on Reddit. So just be careful if you're on the internet and don't want it spoiled. That being said, it's the music is the best thing of the trailer. This quite consistently of all of these new trilogy trailers, John Williams' music has really been incredible. And if you listen to one of our episodes of In Dispute, where I try and argue that John Williams should have won the Academy Award for The Force Awakens the same year that Hateful Eight won. But you can argue with me about that on Twitter if you like. But yeah, that's a big yes for me. Star Wars is always going to be a yes, I think. The next trailer was for a film, Line of Duty. Obviously, there's a TV show version of this, which does quite well. This is an American version of the Brit. I don't know. I think there was some other American version of this as well. This film stars Aaron Eckhart as the lead. It just looks really generic. I kind of got those sort of vibes of the like Mile 22 vibes, if anyone who's listening remembers that, starring Mark Wahlberg. It's a similar sort of vibe to that in that it's just a generic police drama sort of film, and I don't know, this one is gonna flop. It's gonna flop, I can tell you that one now. I don't really get who this sort of, I can tell you who this film is for. It's just for the people that just wanna watch these actiony sort of films. But I think that's it. I don't think there's enough for a general audience to go and watch that. It's not a John Wick, it's not a Fast and Furious, there's nothing particularly there. Even Bloodshot had more of a style about it. A little bit different, obviously, but there's nothing particularly unique about looks like this film, and just going, it's a police drama or police action film, I don't think is enough. And Aaron Eckhart, it's good to see him do stuff. I don't remember I feel like the last thing I would have seen him in was London Has Fallen. That was a few years ago now. But no, it's really not doing anything for me, and it's gonna be a no for me. The next trailer we got was for a film that I didn't know we were getting, or maybe I did in the back of my mind, but a trailer for the remake of The Grudge, another remake of it. And it's, I can tell you now, it's another no. This trailer is bland. I got vibes of the Slender Man film that we had the other year that was awful and had nothing to do with Slender. I also got a little bit of vibes from the third Rings, the Ring films, which again I really didn't like. I'd rather, we get so much good horror at the moment, and this doesn't feel like that. It feels less like treading down and remake for remake's sake, when I don't think a remake is needed. The first Grudge, the original versions of the film are really solid and work, still hold up well enough that I don't think a remake is needed. That being said, we've got a decent cast. I really like, is it John Cho who was the lead? I'll have a look in just a second. 2020 Oh, yeah, Betty Gibson's in it. Yeah, it was John Cho. And it just wasn't scary for it. Like, you want to be scared when you watch a horror movie trailer. There's that shot of a hand coming out the hair at the end, and it's just like, that's just not scary. That's not even creepy. It's weird, and it just doesn't work at all for me. I haven't seen anything else that the director has done, given that he's only done two other films, being The Eyes of My Mother and Piercing. Not stuff that has I've ever heard of. Just ratings for both of them seem to be middle-ish. So I'm expecting it to probably be around there. I'm not expecting anything groundbreaking from it. I think it's another one that's going to flop. I don't think there's any excitement. I don't think anyone's asking for this film. So speak no from me. Let's jump into the headlines before I go on to talk about Comic-Con and what we got up to last weekend and what we saw. The big headline of the last 2 weeks that occurred during this week has it all of our headlines actually. Benioff and Wise have exited Star Wars. It's an interesting one. They obviously created Game of Thrones, and we were told they were gonna make a si run a produce a series of films, and then it kind of went down to trilogy, and then treatment of just the first film. And then they signed that deal with Netflix, and then Kevin Feige is doing a Star Wars film, and now we know that they're no longer involved with Star Wars at all. And it's a conversation that we've had a few times that there just doesn't seem to be any. We've lost quite a few directors from Star Wars, and that's frustrating to see, and it makes you wonder, one, why they've been brought on in the first place if they couldn't agree later on. I feel like that's something they should be aware of earlier on by now, especially when they've had so many people leave. I remember talking to Tommy about this on our way to Comic-Con actually, and saying that I don't think it would happen, and lo and behold, during this week we've found out that it isn't going to happen, and that they're no longer involved in Star Wars. It's not at all a surprise when you given they've got had that such I think it was 9-figure Netflix deal. It makes sense if their deal with Star Wars was terminated around about then. Does it make me particularly worried? I'm actually going to echo something that Christian Harloff has been saying, if you follow him at all. The only thing that bothers me about them being got rid of, if the rumor was that they were going to do a film series based on the origin of the Jedi, and presumably the Sith as well, as part of that. And if that story is no longer going to happen because they're not involved, that bothers me more than them leaving. I'd rather someone came in and did that instead of with the Josh Trank film, was going to be a Boba Fett film, which obviously hasn't happened. And I think the future of Star Wars still needs to be put into place, and there still doesn't seem to be any clear structure or plan as to what is going ahead. I think the next Star Wars film we're due to get is in 2022, so they've got some time. I think we will hear about it at Celebration next year, which isn't until August, I believe. So they've got quite a while to sort some stuff out, and I'm sure they've already got stuff in motion. I think that film that we see in 2022 will be the one that will be produced by Kevin Feige. Whether he continues to do, whether that is part of the series, whether that is the origin of the Jedi story, we'll have to wait and see. I do predict that we'll get an announcement of that next year. Probably not a title, but we'll get an idea of where that story's going, and probably some casting next year, with a director brought on board. This obviously brings up the question about Kathleen Kennedy, and what we've been saying for a while as to whether there's no creative head. She doesn't seem to be that sort of person. And that is a shame that she might have to, what, not ashamed necessarily. I think there are just better people that care more about Star Wars. I've been saying for a while with Filoni, I don't necessarily think it'd have to be him, but someone who's just more passionate about Star Wars and knows more about the world and cares more about the world than she seems to be honest. The next headline is just a smaller one, a little confirmation that we got that Spider-Verse 2 will be coming in summer 2022. Well, we don't know anything else about it. Lord and Miller will presumably return to produce that and continuation of Miles' story. Great, can't wait. It obviously won the Benji for Best Film at our Insider Awards this year. That unique animation style is something that we all want to see more of, and audiences responded to so well, and I think it's made it such a unique film, as well as arguably being the best Spider-Man film that we've ever got. The next bit of news before I jump on and talk about what we got up to last weekend was that on HBO Max, Warner Brothers' new streaming service that will be debuting at some point next year, I believe. Whether we get that in the UK or not, I don't know. This is my problem with it, especially with the Warner Brothers sort of side. We know that Disney Plus is coming next year, but we don't know when or when that sort of series is going to come. But we know it is. But Warner Brothers have seemed to be a bit off it, and as far as the UK standpoint, we don't know whether we'll get this at all. And I hope we do, and I think we should, because I think they're missing a market there. Because you look at something like Titans, which was on Netflix, and the Swamp Thing, which was put onto Amazon Prime. We haven't had Doom Patrol at all, which is quite frustrating, because I've heard really good things about that. So whether they do launch anything in the UK, I really hope they do. And there's now talks of this Green Lantern series going straight to HBO Max. Whether that's what universe that is part of, we don't know yet. Whether that'll be part of Robert Pattinson's universe, Batman universe, or whether that'll be part of and crossover with the likes of Jason Momoa's Aquaman and Wonder Woman, we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be quite space heavy, which is cool. Going to have a movie size budget, so that's quite exciting to see. And again, we don't know too much at this stage. It's very early, they've only just announced it. There was also another Strange Adventures type thing. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see with that for some casting comes out, and just what's going on with HBO Max in general. So let's talk about last weekend. Myself and Tommy went to MCM Comic Con London. When we got there early on, we decided to head straight to Cyberpunk and get tickets for that and go to the first screening of that. One of the most hotly anticipated games, obviously, had the Keanu Reeves. He's going to play what seems to be a bigger role than I thought it would be, was going to be from this announcement in it. We saw a decent 45 minutes worth of gameplay. I'm still very excited for the game. It looks very Blade Runner 2049, and that's very me. That's the sort of style that I love. I'm really, after seeing the gameplay for it, it looks good. It looks interesting. I still don't love that it's first person, especially in that when you can now customize your character, you're never going to see that. So it seems, apart from when you change your clothes and customization, it does seem a little bit pointless, and I don't see why you can't have the option to go from first person to third person and choose whichever one suits you and your gameplay better. Something that I got used to playing Mass Effect and that sort of style of gameplay, so that third person kind of worked well for me rather than the Halo COD sort of first person, which it looks like it's going to be more of. That being said, the gameplay looked good. I'm really excited for it. It's still definitely up there as my mostly hotly anticipated film. That
and Fallen Order, which is out in just under 2 weeks now, are probably my most anticipated games at the moment. I'm really excited for them. And that hasn't changed after seeing that. The next panel we got to see was a panel with a few of the children from It, the younger children from that. And it was an interesting panel. I felt like it was a really difficult one for the interviewee. I don't know her name, or the interviewer. I think she had a really difficult job. They're obviously young, they haven't been in particularly too much. So it was kind of really difficult to get much out of them and talk to them about anything other than It. So it was Wyatt Olef, Sophia Lillis, and Jaden Martell who were the ones that were there. And they obviously haven't been in too much. And it was clear that Sophia doesn't really like doing that sort of thing. So kind of made the panel feel a little bit flat. Something that didn't particularly feel flat was we got to watch the first episode of C, which is now available on Apple Plus TV, or Apple TV Plus, whatever it's called. We got to watch the first episode of that, and then the cast of the Jason Moore, Alfred Woodard, and another guy, as well as Francis Lawrence, also came out and did a panel after the first episode. So just a mini sort of review of that. You can, like I said, you can watch that now on Apple TV. It's a lot to take in. It's about a world where, in a post-apocalyptic world, a virus has caused everyone to be blind. So it's kind of dealing with that and looking at the world. And a lot of the first episode is setting up this world, and it's quite a lot to take in, a lot of world building, and I think that's where it kind of just struggled. It's definitely interesting and some good action scenes, but the question here is, do I want to see more of it? And I don't know if there's enough there, especially on Apple TV, where there isn't much yet. I don't know if there's enough to grab me towards that. It is being released weekly, apart from the first three episodes are available now, and then it's going to be released weekly. I like that sort of side of it. The cast came out and seemed great. Jason Moore was great. We didn't learn too much. Craig Stevens did the interview, and I thought he was great with them. And then that was kind of it. There wasn't much on Saturday, but then on Sunday, Simon Pegg had his own panel. And that was great, obviously mostly talking about Cornetto Trilogy and Star Trek and Star Wars. And just being a nerd, he's obviously used to Comic-Con. It was great with the crowd. Didn't give anything away. He's not particularly working on too much right now, apart from his Amazon Prime TV show with Nick... I was going to say Nick Pegg, but that's not his name. I don't know why. Why is his name gone from me? Nick something. Nick and Simon... Why is that? Nick Frost, that's it. I don't know why that completely went for me. They're working on an Amazon show at the moment. Like I said, most of the questions were about the Cornetto Trilogy. It was a better interview. Like I said, he interacted a little bit more with the audience. He's been doing these sort of things for a while, and he's been the other side of that, so he knows what the audience wants to see and what the audience expects. So I think that worked really well as a panel. As a whole, there wasn't, as far as Comic-Con goes, there was a lot of free Mountain Dew, which I think was myself and Tommy's favourite part of it. I think Comic-Con's, it's definitely getting better, and I think I preferred this one definitely to May, and if that continues to grow into next May, then that'll be great, and hopefully we'll be able to see more May and get some other panels and more interviews and stuff. I know we spoke a little bit about Clerks and what went on there last time that we were at Comic-Con there. We did try and get to some other stuff, but time-wise, we didn't work out, and there was some content that we were going to film, but plans fell through, unfortunately, but we'll try and get those up and running again, then put them more into motion. Fingers crossed we can get that for May, which is typically is the bigger con anyway. Let's move into, as always, box office. As I'm going to look at what will be yesterday's box office or that weekend. So in fifth place, we had The Addams Family with 8.5 million. A film called Harriet coming in up in its first weekend for fourth place with 12 million. Maleficent, Mistress of Evil in third place with 12.2 million. Joker staying in at second place with 13.9 million. And Terminator Dark Fate debuting at number one with 29 million. Not a strong weekend for Terminator. Looks like that might put the nail in the coffin for the franchise, at least for now. I have a feeling they'll probably end up going and doing perhaps another TV show. I think that's a little bit more realistic. And where the show will where it'd probably do better. Like it does sort of end an arc, and we've got a decent Terminator 3 for once. Not great, but watchable at least. And it is a shame. But I think the previous Terminator 3, Salvation, Genesis, didn't help anything. And I think audiences have kind of had enough, and they've definitely said that when they've only made 123 worldwide million, that is, off a 100 and where did it go? I think it was 185 million, yeah, budget. So not a strong weekend. And that's it for this week's episode of In Case You Missed It. I apologize that it's late as always. On Monday, I say late as always, it's not always late. That's it. Like I've said previously, if it comes out on a Monday, it will come out, always come out on a Monday or Sunday. But be sure to like on Facebook to keep up to date and follow us on Twitter at @InsiderNetwork_, as well as Instagram. And you can also keep up to date with everything that's going on in the film world on there. You can find me at Floodgate28. Go and follow Tommy at MrTTGrain. And you can tweet at him for his opinion on any of the stuff that I've spoken about today and any of the topics that come up during the week. And yeah, we will see you next week and see what next week's headlines brings. Goodbye.